Welcome, Inner Source Alchemy with Capri. Well, that's me. I'm re-enlivening the pod because it's been a few years since I've been on the pod, and I really need to remember to keep my mouth near the microphone so we don't have sound issues. I am re-enlivening because I started this podcast for a reason. And the reason was because I wanted to have a podcast. And I wanted to have a place to express myself. I'm a stay-at-home mother. I'm not super extroverted as far as, like, social settings. Like, I can do it in doses, but the true me has a lot of social stimulation at home, and the true me just doesn't have a lot to give outside of home. But at the same time, the true me also wants to be connected to other people. Over the last few years, it's been rough. It's been a little bit rough because the social and political dynamics of the world and where I live and just extended communities have been rocky energetically. And one thing I leaned on a lot in the last, like, year and a half, perhaps, after the more intense years of the social climate, as the storm began to settle and the, you know, the cleanup began. I don't know if it's adulthood or 2020 and beyond, but I was not expecting this shit. There's a funny meme of Britney Spears holding the knives. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just know that she has danced with knives recently and selfied it. And it's like, there's a photo of Britney Spears that's like, back in the day, and it was like the America I thought I grew up in. And then there's a photo of her with the knives, and like the one back in the day is her just like very schoolgirl, casual, like cutesy, goody-goody kind of imagery. And then the America I thought I knew versus like what America is. And then it's like Britney Spears with the knives and everything. Hilarious. So humor and just like lightheartedness is like the whole podcast was joyful and unapologetic unfolding. And I think a lot of what I've focused on, at least publicly in the last few years, has been like, sometimes I'll just come out and I'll share my thoughts, or I'll share like what I think is funny in a meme form. And it's lacking a lot of context, and I've gotten some backlash for some of that, and also some, I don't want to say accolades, because it's really not that, but more of just connection, I guess. I have to sneeze. And I just want to kind of create more context via the podcast for some of those like more dense thoughts that I have, because as much as I can sometimes come with dense thoughts, and I mean, I don't honestly think I've been putting out much dense thoughts in publicly, but I've had them. I've been in a density over the last few years. Like, it's not a depression at all, not a personality thing. It's just again, the energetic situation in the world. It's been dense. It's been intense. But what I'm getting at is the lightness of reality exists all the time. There's always layers of what to focus on, and like, I personally need a lot of levity in my life, and I have it, and that's sort of why I did, you know, I don't know how much I brought of it to this podcast, but I need the levity because I need to be able to dive in. It's like almost like the levity is the oxygen and the air, and then I can dive into those deeper places of exploring culture or truth or myself, all of the above and their interconnections. I need the levity consistently. And, you know, if I can't get the levity from someone else, I will supply the levity on my own. And, but I have been, thankfully, getting levity and experiencing levity in my life in a lot of ways. And especially in the last couple of years, just, yeah, like listening to comedy podcasts, listening to just leaning into that humorous levity. So I guess with that said, I'm not taking any kind of turns or anything with what I'm about, but I am, I think, going to start using this podcast as I intended, which was sort of as an exercise for myself to express my truth and express my thoughts without censoring myself. And I had been censoring the last few years. I think that's why it was kind of hard to just initiate this thing again, because there was just so much, I was experiencing so much weird backlash, and just, I was also like, hold on. And there was no more topic. There was just nothing more interesting to me than like what was happening in the world. I was just, you know, in the realm of health and viruses, and in the realm of free birth and autonomous pregnancy, and just like kind of women, just this whole uprising of women just being so amazing, and just this niche people. Yeah, anyway, getting in that, and then also understanding the deeper happenings with what we see on the political world stage, understanding some of the behind the scenes, and really just like pinning together some pieces like a classic conspiracy theorist, or just really what I always say is a conspiracy realist. I don't intend to necessarily see, like, we need time to process the world and understand how what we process affects us, and then, you know, choose to share what we directly learned, or just choose to share ourselves after we've come to learn what we've learned and are coming to understand our own truths, which I definitely established my perception. It's very changeable, and I think that's a good thing, because sometimes people don't have changeable perceptions, and that can be very binding and limiting. And I'm just grateful, really, to be open-minded, free-spirited, in a way. But all that said, I actually just want to keep it simple on this podcast, and kind of just, you know, I am who I am. I have my beliefs, and I have my beliefs strongly at this point. I feel like I've taken a lot of time to integrate my new understanding of the world and my place in it. It was a hiatus, but it was a necessary one, and I still have the desire to do the podcast. So here I am, and that was my intro. And I'm just going to start talking about my life. and I'm going to, that's what I'm gonna do. You guys, I've been making peg dolls also in the last few years. Dolls for my children that are just charming little things. And I began to sell them on Etsy. I have made one sale, thankfully, to a local friend. And it's a fun, creative burst for me to make these peg dolls. And my most recent set that I created for my child's nursery school auction is just like an ABC rainbow colored set that has, oh, not ABC, my bad, Monday through Sunday set that has some numbers on it. Like each, whatever. I really don't want to explain it. What I want to explain, though, is how I do not understand how this affects me so profoundly. But when I put on the gold glitter, because I do this, just so you know, I put on a gold glitter on the peg doll, everything changes. It comes to life. I mean, it goes from plain to gold glitter. I know it's not just me that has this visceral, almost spiritual connection to gold glitter. There's nothing special about this glitter. You know, it's probably microplastic, but it's great. And at least it's stuck on the doll. Like, I make sure it's on there. And then I Mod Pod it after, so it's not going anywhere. And I guess that's not non-toxic. So maybe I'm doing some false advertising too. But it's on there. It changes things. Gold in general changes things. Do you want to talk about the old world? I mean, have you guys dived into the old world discussions? Fascinating. That was another area that I've been really interested in. And I was kind of talking about the areas like the health, the women's sovereignty, even just human sovereignty, natural law, and the laws that we live by, the laws of the land, and then the maritime admiral law, and how we... You guys, we are in a system. And so anyway, gold was used a lot in structures. Copper, mercury, in these old world buildings. If you ever look at the buildings of like centuries past, they're gorgeous. Gorgeous, gorgeous. I mean, obviously, we tour these places. A lot of them are coming down, even. And it's like, why? And the buildings we make now are just, in comparison, it's like peanuts compared to caviar. I mean, that was not a good comparison. Because it's just like, okay, they don't have the technology now. Apparently, in this advanced technological age, they don't have the technology to do these renderings of these amazing buildings, these amazing sculptures and structures. The domes, the bells, the copper, the different shapes, all frequency. Frequency, energy, vibration, all the Tesla technology, like Nikola Tesla. You guys, this is how I live. Like, I just pop in and out of these thoughts. So I'm just, this is what we're doing. Yeah, all that, it didn't go anywhere. And it's been around. And in my belief system, a lot of our history has been suppressed, rewritten. And the technology, I think, is... You know, do I know why? No. Do I think that maybe the people that are in control now, maybe we were completely wiped out? Maybe you have no clue what I'm talking about. But I got my period back. It came back after 2 years. Almost 2 years. No, not a full 2 years. And that was a complete, I don't want to say game changer, because I've had my period before, but I was feeling like a renewed sort of energy leading up to it. And perhaps that's why I got into the extra creation of these peg dolls and just like, oh, I want to like make these birth affirmation cards and just creating the whole Etsy store, which the Birch Bay is what it's called. Oh, man, my child's screaming in the background. You may or may not hear. And she's okay, though. It's a scream that I'm familiar with. So, yeah. I'm talking about getting my period back. It was due. It was due. I was ready to be grounded by the rhythm of my own cycle and ready to just know where I was at and to like ovulate and to at least know I'm ovulating and bleed. Bleed, baby, bleed. And I really feel like I need to tap back into the topic of gold and just express again what a precious metal that is. I really think, well, you know, okay, I better not think too hard because I might end up back in the old world stuff, which was not my plan, not the plan. I thought I would share a little bit about my like daily rhythm and what I've been doing differently in my life than really ever before as far as my like rituals. I have taken up coffee, and throughout the whole pregnancy, my last pregnancy, I couldn't really even touch caffeine, but I did quite enjoy hot chocolate. And I noticed during my period, I was like, even right before, I was like, it kind of was that similar sensitivity feeling of like, I do not want caffeine. And so I had hot chocolate and it was delicious. Just classic hot chocolate. Like I make it myself with cocoa and sugar and hot water or maybe milk, depending. I also have a collagen pearl powder, which is a mix of pearl powder and marine collagen. That is a powder. And I put it into either the coffee or the whatever hot beverage, because I also drink mud water, which is like a tea-based, mushroom-blended drink. I really love not knowing what drink I'm going to feel like in the morning. And I always have this with food, too. Especially like the caffeine. I used to not be able to even have it. Coffee, like I would have it occasionally, but it was definitely not something I could have regularly. But I think my metabolism is different these days, and I have more of like a breakfast flow, and having it with like the satiating breakfast foods. This is not my thoughts only. I've heard this also from a nutritional standpoint, that really helps metabolize in the caffeine in a more sustainable way. So maybe it's just like I have more going on in my life and I'm like, I really need the few extra like kick of caffeine. And maybe I'm just like really executing all that energy on those days so that like I'm not feeling. Because the problem was before is I would be up too late. Like I couldn't sleep at night. And if that happens now, I'm like, I will know. Like, if I'm awake too late and I'm just really not kind of gearing down in the times that the time that I would ideally like to be, I can often trace it back to coffee. And that's usually, like, if that happens, that's my sign to, like, back off. But I'm really, I like experimenting with knowing, like, can I trust my body to tell me what I can have today so that I don't end up in a situation where I feel like I've thrown myself off? And I'm like, yeah, I can. And more and more, more and more and more, more and more and more and more, I can. So my collagen pearl powder, marine collagen pearl powder, I've been on it for like 3 or so months, but like maybe 2.5. I don't know. I'm on my third bag of it, but I have a solid amount left. But in between, I like went and got a different brand of the pearl powder collagen. And my whole intention behind even including this, well, there's some like amazing benefits to pearl powder and marine collagen. I'm more attracted to the marine collagen versus like beef collagen, just because I don't eat a ton of seafood, but I do feel like my body benefits from seafood. So it's just a good way for me to get that marine collagen, marine life in me. And the pearl, also marine based, like aquatic. I love the water. I love the ocean. It just makes sense to me to be having this supplement. The traditional Chinese medicine aspects of the pearl also make sense to me. And I just love that, like, it's this really ancient medicine, essentially, or like not medicine, but nutritional. You wouldn't imagine, like, oh, let's crush up some pearls and eat it. You can even use it on your face. But yeah, people have been doing it for a while, like nobility and royalty, perhaps is the better word. I don't know. Just anyone that had some amount of wealth probably were able to, is what we're talking about in the ancient times, or our version of ancient times, in like China, Eastern Asian places. I mean, who knows, maybe even more. I mean, you got to have access to pearls, right? So maybe it's been coastal. I don't know. I don't know a whole ton about it. I just intuitively felt like with this postpartum period, I want that in my life. Another thing I've been really kind of concentrating on within my rituals in this last several months of being postpartum, like just in case you have no context, I had a baby like a year ago, my third baby. In case this is your first podcast ever hearing from me, or if you don't know me, but let's be real, that's not who's listening right now. Yeah, so another part of my ritual that I've incorporated is my hair a little bit more mindfully, intentionally, because now that my hair's long again, I tend to go through cycles of like growing and cutting and growing and cutting, which I think most people do. But I'm in a long cycle now, and no signs of wanting to cut it. The last time I cut it was in 2020, which was appropriate. It was like I was postpartum at that time, and I had really enjoyed my hair during the pregnancy. It was like thicker. I wasn't losing a lot of it, but then it started coming out when I was postpartum and just getting thin and mangy. And I was just like, ugh, no. And then like the world locked down, and then I was starting to see things differently than I had ever seen before. And I was like, this hair's got to go. I got to start fresh here. Let me get rid of these last years because I'm being made anew. So that was the last time I cut it at any kind of length. And that was the shortest I had cut it in a long time. So that was significant. And there had been like a lot of holding on, I think, that I had had up to my hair, and a fear of cutting it, of like, I don't want to let it go. I don't want to start over. I'm afraid of losing my hair. That had been a storyline in my life for a while because I was losing a lot of hair. And I still go through phases. I'm still working through kind of this experience that I have with my own hair. And I could tell you the whole entire history of that, but I can't. I'm just kind of like pop into like where I am now. So I am in a grow cycle, growing, and the Pearl collagen powder is also supposed to support that and support the growth of it and the non-breaking of it and you know, the strength. And just, you know, that's a superficial kind of result, but when I look at, you know, like I said, looking at the details of the Pearl powder, I was like, yeah, that like addresses some of my deeper needs. And it's like, the way I see things is it's not just like a topical solution wouldn't be the answer to me unless I'll hang on, Capri. I think a lot of anything that is not a topical solution could be great. And I am also using that. I just wanted to say that, like, because it's also like our intention. Like if we are like, so I've been doing, I have an oil that I've been rubbing into my head, massaging for 2 or 3 nights a week. This is all part of this ritual, this hair ritual that I have now. I think I need to get closer to the mic again. My baby's crying in the background. And we're at almost 30 minutes, and I really want to keep the pod somewhat more digestible in length. So I think I have a couple more things here to say, and then I'm going to close. But yeah, but to wrap up the hair thing. Let me see. Yeah, so I got the ritual, I got the oil, the internals, the externals, just the intention of wanting to take care of my hair in a different way. Like I want to have it long. I don't want to get to a point where it's mangy because I've just been like, so many snarls that I just have to like rip it out. Like it's already thin. I can't afford to be breaking my hair when I'm brushing it. And I'm hoping to grow more at the roots too. That's, you know, that's also part of it, but that will be something I can report on later because I think I'm still too early in this journey. I'm only at like 3 months or 4 months into like the intention of the hair. So, yeah, the coffee's been supportive. I just recently started a new shampoo. That's a bar, which I didn't think I'd ever do. Well, you know, I wanted to. I was curious, but I was like, no, I don't know. Conditioner in a bar form? How? Finally, someone spoke to me. And my daughter's friend's mom, somehow I overheard it. And then she was just like amped on this bar soap. And I use it now. Let me know if you want to know what that is. I'm not getting any me and this mother joke about how we promote this bar soap shampoo and conditioner, and we don't have any commissions. So, you know, I'm just going to scale back on my promotion until they find me and tell me that they're going to start, you know, giving me the credit and financial support that I deserve for promoting this product. But let me just say, I like it. I like it, and I'm ready to trash the bottles. Anyway, I'm pretty sure that covers my hair ritual. And yeah, somehow that ties in with coffee. I don't know how it does. I'm enjoying the rituals. It's the little rituals that get me through. And it's like my days and weeks are just kind of full of little rituals. Well, not really, but, you know, well, yes, really. I mean, like, changing a diaper is a ritual, and one I avoid at times. And I don't avoid it and leave her with a dirty diaper. I often like to have Tim do it if he's home working or just not working. But, I mean, I'm definitely the primary diaper changer. And sometimes I enjoy it, but it's like if I was doing it 100%, I would have to get into some trance about that, like really change my perspective on it, because sometimes it really, well, she cries a lot, so that makes it, you know, she likes to have be entertained while it's happening. She doesn't like, I mean, I get it. We don't need to dive into any more of that. So, yeah, closing out here, I just want to shout out to my Honda Odyssey. It's my 4-year anniversary of having the Honda Odyssey. Thankfully got it before the crazy, like, spike priced of used cars. Yeah, 4 years on the road with the 2012 Honda Odyssey and enjoying it. Have had to put in money to it. Like, yeah, for sure had to funnel money into that van. But I got it at a good price. It's almost paid off. And it's trucking. And I see so many gray Honda Odysseys. It's gray, too. I have so many out on the road. It's like the stock car van. It's a very stock standard van in where I am. It's like when my 3-year-old, almost 4-year-old was 2, she used the word similar for the first time. And she was like, that car's similar to yours. And I was like, first of all, you're 2 and you said similar. Nailed it. And I'm like, yes. And so then now she doesn't even point it out anymore because she's realized how they're everywhere. And I noticed not many of them put bumper stickers on there. Like, there's not a lot of distinguishing features. People with gray Honda Odysseys tend to not distinguish themselves. And I do like the anonymity of that. I do have a tendency to put a bumper sticker on my car, or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5. I did scale back recently. I kind of went to town for the first 2 years, but before the baby was born, or maybe it was right after she was born. I'm not quite sure when it was, but in the last year for sure, I took a bunch of bumper stickers off mine and my husband's car, which he's had since we lived in Colorado, which was over 10 years ago. We just had to scale back the bumper stickers. The day came, especially when Tim was driving and this woman was in a matching Subaru and she had like the cliche. He has a Subaru, Forester, and she had like the cliche. She was like middle-aged, older than middle-aged. I'm almost middle-aged. Jeez. Woman that had like all these bumper stickers like on the Subaru, kind of like, dare I say it, like a middle-aged liberal or older than middle-aged liberal. What is the name for that? Not a boomer, but somewhere in between. Gen Z maybe? X, is it? No, yeah, Gen X. And I guess they were up at the red light and she looked over at him and was like, we have like matching cars, because of he had so many bumper stickers that we'd accumulated over the years. And yeah, it was a sign that he needed to scale back. It wasn't appropriate, some of the things on there anymore. We had some funny stories with some of them. And yeah, anyway, I'm just one of the few Honda Odysseys that have decided to spice it up just a little bit. I'm happy with my current level of spice on the Odyssey. I'm like 75% happy with my bumper stickers. And last like important point that I wanted to bring up as a mother that spends time in the library of my town is like there's always like the children's section. And it's if you go into a library, if you're in the same boat as me and you're going into children's libraries, it's very interesting to observe how mothers put on their best gentle parenting like persona when they're in front of other people. And I don't think it's at all a front it is, but it's like, I don't think it's because they're trying to like appear a certain way. I think it's because something about having that, it's like they're the best parenting selves in those moments when we're at the children's library, because something about like being witnessed, because like you're so witnessed in that moment, because we're like generally trying to be calm and quiet, and it's like if you make any kind of slight scene, it's just exaggerated. So we have to be on our A game so that our children can be on their A game for this like social environment. But it is kind of funny to like think of it in that light and like kind of just like listen to how people communicate with their children in that setting and just be like, I see what you're doing there. And, you know, ride that wave while you have the energy to be in that. And it's great. It's wonderful. I do feel like there's a lot of great parents out there. And what I mean by gentle parenting is just like the way we communicate. Like, I can't interpret, I can't like mock it right now. But anyway, I hit 35 minutes on this. I think that's quite enough. I really want to try to cut it back to like 20 minutes, but this is what we got this week. And I'll be back.